In 1988, evangelical philosopher and theologian Carl Henry wrote a book. And in this book, it's called The Twilight of the Great Civilization. It was by Crossway Books. 22 years ago, he wrote this book. He said that as America progressively loses its Judeo-Christianity or Christian heritage, paganism would grow bolder. What we saw in the last half of the 20th century was a kind of benign humanism. But he predicted by the start of the 21st century, we would face a situation not unlike the first century when the Christian faith confronted raw paganism, humanism, with the pretty face ripped off, revealing the angry monster underneath. And my, how his words have come to pass. Interesting where we are living today and just how quick things have changed and how quick the mindset toward Christianity in America is quickly fading away. How people's thoughts are for themselves. And as I said in earlier service, some years ago, the percentage of Americans, I think it's still equal to that today, percentage of Americans, 70% of Americans claim they're Christian. But if that's the case, then why are we in the shape we're in? We're not doing what we're supposed to do if that's the case. And I also said that some years ago when I was doing this study that I think it's 45% of those who claim to be Bible-believing Christians, of the Bible-believing Christians that are claiming that that's what they are, 45% of them don't even believe in the devil nor in hell. In other words, they're not believing the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And that's what we've got to keep in our hearts and do and follow. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, as I read, we'll look at some things and as I go through that and then concentrate on Hebrews chapter 12. It says, For this know also that in the last days perilous time shall come. Now we are living in the last days. We have been living in the last days since the Lord Jesus Christ was birthed on this earth 2,000 years ago. And so we've been living in the last days. It's just that the last days are getting shorter, I believe, compared to then. It's 2,000 years removed. And so we're closer to the Lord's coming than we've ever been. And tomorrow will be even another step closer. If the Lord tarries another 100 or 1,000 years, we're still closer than what it was when he first came. But still, he's coming back. He's going to set things right. But we've got to go through things that we've got to go through. The Lord says we're going to have trials and tribulations. These things are going to take place. And as we see, it says, perilous times shall come. Now, Paul was writing this, and that man faced a multitude of persecutions and was eventually put to death because of the name of Christ. But look what it says. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And our country is plastered with that this day. Throughout our country, they talk about division and stuff in the country. Well, why is men like they are? It's because the hearts are dark. Because the hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, even though you and I are saved, if you know the Lord as Savior, we're saved, that heart still resides within us. You realize that? That the Lord says he's the only one that knows the depths of the heart. And so the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I'm appalled at things that I think at times. I'm appalled at some of the stuff I have done. I'm talking since I've been saved. And I think, my goodness, how can this happen? It's because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How many times have you heard people say, well, he had a good heart? That's really a lie. Ain't none of us got no good heart. Every one of us are wicked. This is the way we are. We're born rebellious against God. It says, none seeketh after him, none go after him, none follow him. All are sinners and come short of the glory of God. We all have that nature. But even though you're saved, you still have that old heart. But thank God you've got a new nature. And that's the one that goes after God. So you've got that battle that goes on between you every day. I know good and well you have it. I've got it. I have to fight every day. That old man still trying to rise up and take over. And the new man is saying, no, don't do that. But it's to which one I feed as to which one rules. So we've got to keep that in mind. This is our day. This is headline news. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, without natural affection. How in the world can we go through the streets and rob and burn and pillage things and claim this is what we need to do. It's our right. Where did that come from? It didn't come from Christ. I can tell you that. It comes from the deep recesses of the heart of man. As we go further. For of this sort they creep, this is verse 6, they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. How the God of education in our day. That's all you hear. Got to get educated. Well, I've got several degrees by my name, but I can tell you this. The only one that gives me true education is the Lord and His Word. I know it is true. And I follow it. It amazes me. I was an electronic technician for a number of years. I was in the computer industry for a number of years. I went through tech school and learned all the formulas of stuff for electronics. We had to follow those things. And I guarantee you, if you didn't follow those things, the equipment you were working on didn't work. Well, what in the world makes people think, well, this is not the Word of God. It's just okay. I can follow it if I want to. It's ancient. It's history. It's not something that's going to help us. Hello. God give us this book so we'll know Him. So we can know salvation. So we can know how to follow Him and walk with Him. He tells us what it's all about. So here, he says, these folks who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, why? Because it's not mixed with faith. That's what Scriptures tells us. Man don't believe God because it's not mixed with faith. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist truth, or resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. Romans chapter 1. God says He would turn them over to a reprobate mind. And beloved, that's what's in our country. A confused mind. A mind of insanity. How they say this has got to be this way, but taking the same standard, you can't apply it to this one over here. Well, where did that come from? Because of the reprobate mind, being confused. So, we go and a little further. Verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now this is Paul talking to Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that we live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You ought to underline that, highlight it in red, whatever. Hear what it says. Yea. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That is a promise from God. If you are not being persecuted for your faith, it's because you're not living out your faith like you're supposed to. That's the way it is. If you're not proclaiming up front that you're a Christian and living it, then you're not going to receive persecution. There's many people who claim to know Christ, but they don't live it, and so they get along with the world well. But when you actively say, wait a minute, that's wrong, that's sin, I'm not going to partake of it. Well, preacher man, that's what I was called as a young fellow. Oh, preacher man, he don't want to be like us, he's holier than thou. No, I just wanted to live the truth. And when you live the truth, guess what? They turn against you. It's a promise. So folks, ask yourself, am I being persecuted for the cause of Christ? I'm not actively seeking persecution. But I should be actively living out my Christianity that others have no question about. I was reading an article not too long ago, it was in a book I was reading. If you ever get this book, you ought to read it. Or if you ever come across this book, you ought to get it and read it. A little paperback book. It's called The Pursuit of Holiness. And I read it when I was in Bible college, did a thesis on it. Sadly, I put it down. But here lately, God has pricked my heart to pick that thing back up and start reading. And I'm trying to read it every week. It's just 15, 16 chapters, short ones. If you let it, it'll change your life. Why? Because it's all from the Scripture. It's what the Lord tells us we need to do. But in that, the author was telling, he was talking to a young fella and the boy got saved, or a young man got saved. And him and his father were at odds and hadn't seen each other in a number of years because they were combative before he got saved. And this young man was going to meet his father, hadn't seen him, I think, 7 years. And so the author was talking about he was discipling him and getting him prepared and everything for his father so he could witness to his father, because he didn't believe his father knew the Lord, never heard anything from his father about it. His father came, and then the author talked to him and said, well, how'd your visit with your father go? He said, it went all right. He said, what did he say when you told him you were saved? He said, he told me, oh, He had gotten saved when he was 10 years old in an evangelical meeting. He said, did you ever see anything that reflected Christianity in your father? He said, I never heard a word from him. Don't be like that, beloved. Don't be like that, beloved. Don't be up where the preacher wonders if you're saved or not. You know what I'm saying? You need to know the Lord. And if you know the Lord, you need to live for the Lord. I mean, that's what he tells us to do. Understand, there's a cost to it. Hey, our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified to save us. What makes us think we're any better than him? He's our Lord. Anyway, we go on further. Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Jump down to verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we see it. It's constantly going on and it gets worse. We've been sheltered for so many years in our country from such things as that. But now we're seeing it, and we see how quickly it's manifesting itself and how quickly the generation that seems to be on our doorsteps right now does not know God. Well, why is it that they don't know God? Is it because we haven't lived it before them and shown the light like we should? Some of it, yeah. Some of it, I understand the times. But still, some of it is that. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, as I read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men, and without holiness no man shall see the Lord. That's the main verse I want to concentrate on, tied in with 2 Timothy chapter 3. We know that we're in this time. We know we're in the last days. We know we're in perilous times. We know that as we see things continue on, it doesn't matter who gets in the White House the next election or the election after that. It's going to continually get worse. It's going to continually be divided. And Christianity is going to be the brunt of it because right now the voice is saying, hey, we need to shut them down. You got churches in America right now, especially in California. You realize this? There's churches in California. I know one right now that's been fined over $70,000 for holding church service. In America. That's taking away your First Amendment right. That's taking away what God has already provided for us in this country. You got a governor in California who's fining them $5,000 a service and $5,000 every time they sing. There's at least two churches that's happening to right now. They're in court over this. It's going to eventually go to the Supreme Court. One court overturned it and said, no, this can't do this. But then the next appeal court instated it back. So it's here, it's in America. And it's not going to stop, beloved. We need to know that. We are at war. Ephesians chapter 6. We are in a spiritual warfare. We cannot sit back and lollygag and say everything's going to be all right. No, it's not. It's going to get worse. That's just what God has promised us. These things are going to happen. Why? Because men are going to get worse and worse. Their hearts are going to continue evil. Right before the flood, what did God say about the earth at that time? He said he saw that the heart of man was on evil continually. That's right before he brought the flood. He promised he'd never flood this earth again. But he did promise us this. He's going to burn it with fire one day. It's all going to be gone. So everything that we accumulate now, everything that we've got that we hold precious to us now, you better hold it lightly. You better hold it with a grain of salt because it can be gone tomorrow. Then what will we do? Hey, this COVID has already shown us some things. And I believe, you know, it's a real thing. I understand it. It's a real virus. But I believe it's also being used in a political form to control. I think it's just steps as into the coming of the Antichrist, the one world system, the one world government, the one world monetary system. Hey, they claim we got a coin shortage. You realize you go to Walmart now, and unless you stand in a line that's got a cashier in it, you can't check out without a card? You ever thought about that? Every time I go and ring something up, it says, this is a card reader only machine. Do you want to continue? Hit continue. When you get through, you put your card in, bring it out. It's done. The only way you can get any change or use cash In some of them, I don't know about all Walmarts, but at least one in Fairlawn, this is what's happening. You have to be in line with somebody to check you out. Saying all that, not trying to be a doomsday sayer. Hey, let's go back to what I sang a while ago. Beulah Land is coming. Amen? It's there waiting. God's going to carry us home one day. I know the rapture is going to come, and I believe the rapture is going to come before the tribulation time takes place. But I also know this. Jesus said perilous times are going to come before the tribulation time. Tribulation is going to be something that is just hard for us to imagine what's going to take place. Hell's going to break loose on earth. When the Christian's taken out, guess what's taken out with the Christian? The Holy Spirit. And 2 Thessalonians, I believe, is the one that says he's the one that holds everything back until he be taken out. And once he's taken out, well, how's he taken out? Through the Christian. Then all hell breaks loose. First 3.5 years of tribulation time is going to be kind of peaceful. But the second three and a half years is going to be hell on earth. God's pouring out his wrath, and the Antichrist is doing his best to win. Beloved, take heart. Now, back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The word follow there means to pursue. It is to pursue with all your heart. It is to go after with everything that's in your being. You do your best to follow peace with all men. You try to live peaceably. Not everybody's going to live peaceably with you. I understand that. That's just. But God says, do what's in your power. As Dr. Cummins, the president of the Bible college I went to and the pastor of the church there I went to, he used to say this, my human best filled with the Spirit of God. That's the only way you're going to accomplish anything is the Spirit of God taking control and doing your best with the power of God upon you. So, as I know that these things are taking place, and as I know that I'm to follow peace with all men, he also says, holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow holiness. What do I mean? Well, I know that I have to be covered in a righteousness and a holiness that I have not of my own. And I know that that comes from Christ. Christ is my only holiness. All my righteousness, the best Christian, his best righteousness, according to Isaiah 64:6, is filthy rags. That's what God sees when we stand before him in our own flesh, in our own heart, in our old nature. That's what he sees. But when I trust Christ as my Savior, I'm born again. I've received the Spirit of God. First Peter tells me I'm part of the divine nature. Well, what happens? God clothes me with his righteousness in his Son. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, that is God the Father, hath made him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin. In other words, he took my sin, your sin, the world's sin upon himself. But God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God hath made him, that is Christ Jesus, to be sin for us. He took my sin and your sin, and he paid the debt. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, even though he was sinless. He took my sin upon himself. He became my sin. He didn't sin. He just took it upon himself so he could pay the price. And he did it for everyone else. And all who will trust him, all who will believe, all who will receive him, receive eternal life. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, those who receive him, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You see? God took my sin, he took it, I don't know if I'll get this off without messing up, he took my sin and he put it upon Christ and he paid the price. And then he took Christ's righteousness, I think it's a different coat, I wish I had a white coat, and he clothes me with his righteousness. Therefore I stand before him righteous, not in my own self, but in his righteousness, in his holiness. So, when he says, pursue holiness with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord, is he talking about that righteousness? No, that's my standing before God, because I'm standing before him in Christ, paid for by his precious blood. But what is he meaning about me following holiness? That is, he has put the Holy Spirit in me, and he has given me a desire to follow and live like him and to be holy. God has told us in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the Old Testament. Well, in the New Testament, he says the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 3 he tells us this, if I can find it. Wherefore, gird up, chapter 3, verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So the Lord has told us that we are to be holy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Corinthians 1, 2 says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. The word sanctified there means to be made holy. So the Holy Spirit's job is to work in me, to conform me to the image of Christ, to teach me, to comfort me, to guide me, and to direct me, what? In this new walk with Him, to be like God. He is constantly conforming me to the image of Christ daily. Now, I don't know about you, but I know in myself, my daddy used to always say I was thick-headed. I was hard-headed. And so I'll take a step forward toward Christ, but then a lot of times I take two steps back. But it's still a progressive. You understand where I'm coming from? When I used to read the old analog meters in electronics, it was the RMS value. In other words, what you were reading was not the spikes nor the valleys, but you were reading an average of the current or the voltage that was going through a particular piece of equipment. So when you read the meter, it would go up and it wouldn't do this number on you. It would sit there and read the average of what you were plugged into and looking at. Beloved, I put that in Christian walk to me. I make a step forward. I may make two or three steps backward. As I follow the Lord and submit myself unto Him, I may make two or three steps forward and I may make one back. So you're seeing a progressive walk. That's what we're to be. We are to be progressing to be like Christ. There should be a desire in your heart to live holy. You should, as you grow each and every day in the Lord, as you read your scriptures, as you study and meditate upon them, as you pray unto the Lord and ask for His help and for His guidance, and as you obey what you're reading and listening to from the Lord, then your walk should be a gradual growing. Now some, I think, grow quicker than others, but some of us have that lifetime, you know what I'm saying? But all of us, really, in our lifetime are to be growing toward Christ and being more like Him. We are called Christians. It was first said in Antioch that they are Christians. That was a derogatory term for the Christians that were following the Lord at that time. That's where the first time the word Christian is mentioned. What it meant was, you're a little Christ. Now, beloved, I call myself a Christian, but am I really like Christ every day? If you were to follow me 24/7, do I really reflect Jesus Christ every moment? I can't say that I do. I would to God that I did. And that should be our desire. So as we grow toward Him, we take on His character. What is one part of His character? Hate. You didn't expect me to say that, did you? What does God hate? Sin. He hates sin. Why? Remember the illustration I gave you a while ago? He took my sin and He put it on His Son, God come in the flesh, who never sinned, never knew what it was until He took it that day and paid the price. And then He clothed me with His righteousness. He hates sin. Sin separates from God. Adam and Eve, think with me. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they're created. There's no other human beings at the time. I don't care what evolution is trying to tell you. They're the only ones. God created them in His image. In the image God created him, He, them, male and female created them. And they walked with God and talked with God face to face. Now Moses, later on, after the fall, Moses is the great leader that's leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it says in the scripture that he's the most humble man has ever been. And God, and he said to God, can I see you? And God says, I'll let you look at my backside and not my front side, because no man can look at my front side without being consumed. But Adam and Eve could. Why? Because they had no sin. But when they sinned, what happened? Immediately broke the fellowship with God. Immediately led to death. Now you say, well, Adam lived 900 years. Yes, he did. He did still do what, though? He died. There's a particular portion of Scripture that says, so-and-so lived X amount of years, and he died. So-and-so lived X amount of years, and he died. So-and-so lived X amount of years, and he died. All the way through that chapter, you read, and at the end of it, every one of them died. Why? Because as one man, sin entered into the world, and all became sin. And therefore, sin passed upon all, and all do what? For the wages of sin is death. They had communion with God face to face and then lost it. Beloved, we're fallen creatures. We're born that way. But God has saved us. Give us a new nature. And wants us to be with Him. And we're going to be there one day. But He provides Himself with us now. God in you, or Christ in you, or the Holy Spirit in you, the hope of glory. As we live and walk with Him, we're to love Him, and we're to follow Him, and we're to hate what He hates, and He hates sin. So it should grieve us every time we sin. But now Satan come along and do this. Oh, it's okay. It's just a little sin. Can you name me a little sin that didn't cause Christ to die? No, you can't. There's no sin. We like to put them in categories of little to big. Well, I have no problem with such sin. Well, okay. How about your tongue? Do you backbite? Do you gossip? Do you bear false witness? How about your thought life? Hello? There's a song I used to sing. How about your heart? Is it right with God? If your heart was made with a window where all could see what's inside, what would they see today? Think about it. God sees it all the time. What's in our heart? You can't see my heart. I can't see yours. All I see is your actions. That comes back to the holiness that I'm talking about. It's not the holiness of my standing before God. That's through Jesus Christ. It's my holiness of walking with Him. It is putting to death the old man. And pursuing the new. That's what Ephesians chapter 4 tells us. In Ephesians chapter 4, let me go there and read that right quick. And I know it's a long passage of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4 is the put off, put on principle. Because the Lord tells us to mortify, that is to put to death, the deeds of the flesh. In other words, what my heart desires is not what God wants. My old evil heart. My new man constantly wants what God wants. My old man does not. It likes religion. It likes trying to think of the word. I can't. My mind's gone blank. I've got the senior citizen disease or the old timer's disease or whatever you call it. Anyway, it has gone out. But it likes the pomp and the circumstance and the repetition of ritual. That's what I'm trying to say. The heart likes that. Hey, Satan has no problem you coming to church. Satan has no problem you bringing your Bible. Satan has no problem you reading your Bible. Satan quakes when you get right with God and get serious with God and start praying and obeying His word. That's when he's scared. The old man likes all that stuff. Matter of fact, why is our country in such a mess? And the world for that matter. But why is our country in such a mess? Because they have forsaken God and put themselves in His place. And God says, I will not be second. I'm either all the way or not. So, to live holy, how do I live holy? Well, how do I pursue holiness? I read His word and obey it. Holiness is the conformity to the character of God. And so, as I read Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 17, it says, This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. How does our heart get blind? Because we will not receive the word of God and because Satan does his best to blind our minds to the truth. Who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. That means the old lifestyle. Put off, the word conversation there means lifestyle. Put off the concerning the former lifestyle of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you renewed in the spirit of your mind? Through the word of God. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created through in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands and the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Put off the old man. Every day, put it off. Every day you get up, dear God, help me to put off today. Will I always put him off? I believe there's places, I believe every day I work at putting off the old man, and yeah, I'm not doing that. And then something will rise up and catch me off guard, and what happens? I let the old man control. And then God brings me back to reality, and I'm thinking, man, God help me. It grieves me to sin against God. When David sinned, and I said that earlier, when David sinned with Bathsheba and the adultery he did, and then had her husband killed. I mean, he's guilty of murder, rape, pretty much, because you didn't defy the king. Adultery. Wickedness against his own nation and all. But he didn't say, forgive me, Lord, for sinning against my family, though he did. Or my community, or the people that I rule over. He said, I have sinned against God. That's what we got to understand. To walk in holiness is to listen to the Lord, and when he pricks our heart, get it right and don't justify it. Now, Satan will come along and he'll say, oh, just sin and enjoy it. It's just a little bitty sin. Just go ahead. God understands. Then all you got to do is confess it and he'll forgive you. Because isn't that what the scripture says? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, when we do that, first of all, we're premeditating a sin. Like premeditated murder. We're doing premeditated sin. And you cannot sin unto yourself and not affect somebody. I don't care. Well, it's just me. No, it's not. Sin affects everybody. Why? Because it affects God's relationship. When a nation forgets God, what does it say? He turns it to hell. Don't do that. Don't take that route with Satan. Oh, all I got to do is just ask, confess my sin. Well, when you take that attitude, you forget what Psalm 66:18 says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. So how is my confessing going to get a relationship back with God when he's not going to hear me? Because I'm regarding iniquity in my heart. As I've said, the morning service said a number of times, we have no problem confessing. Our problem is repentance. Because repentance is turning. Confession is just with the lips. Confession a lot of times is I don't know them big words. Is that not attrition? Can't think of the name of the word. Anyway. It basically, confessing without repentance is sorry that you got caught or that you're going to suffer some consequences. True repentance is you're not worried about the consequences. You want to get right with God. That's what we need. Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Matthew 5:13-16, I'm not going to read it, but it says that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are God's feet, his hands, his eyes, his ears, his mouth. We are representative of God while we're on this earth. And we are to represent him in everything that we do. We can say with our lips one thing, but our actions can speak something different. They've got to join together. They've got to be on the same page. My actions should back up what I talk. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Let me go back there and read that right quick. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You've known my persecutions, my afflictions. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and be assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, Timothy, you've watched me in private. You've watched me in public. You know I'm the same. I preach Christ and Him crucified, and I seek to live for Him. Matter of fact, one of Paul's verses, he says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. But then he goes on and says this, to be made conformable to His death. Ooh, what does that mean? I think it means this, that my will is dead and God's will is all that matters. I'm salt. I am to be the preservative. I am to tell, hey, that's sin. It brings conviction. It hurts in the wound. But I'm to do that. But as light, I'm to give the gospel out that others may see. Others may see and might get saved. Ask yourself these three questions and we'll wind it up. If you claim to be a child of God, ask these three things. Is there evidence of striving to be holy in my everyday walk? Do I honestly desire to be holy unto the Lord? Do I grieve over the lack of it and earnestly seek the Lord, my Lord, to help me to be holy? Those questions we need to ask ourselves. The world needs to see the real Jesus. The world don't have to look. We're not to flaunt our do's and don'ts. There's nothing wrong with rules as long as God's in control. But God's not looking for you to follow rules. Hey, the Old Testament was set up on following the law. And He says, but you can't keep it. So you can make your list of do's and don'ts, and you might be making those, but is that the one that God really says is right? You know what I'm saying? God wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants to control. Let's stand and have a word of prayer and an invitation to be given.